Nerino Petro is the Practical Management Advisor for the State Bar of Wisconsin. In that position, Nerino helps attorneys throughout the state of Wisconsin to deal with process questions like, what technology should I be using in my practice? How can I improve my collections? My client did X, what should my response be? And a host of other issues which confront a bar practice management advisor on a daily basis. Our discussion today will focus on the issue of cloud-based applications. What are they? How do they differ from traditional applications, and are they ready for the big time? Join Ed and Nerino for this interesting discussion.
Our topic for today is the cloud. And here in Southern California, the sun finally came out. It looks like we're in spring rather than fall, having missed entirely the summer this year. But the cloud, as we talk about it in this context, has to do with technology. Tell us exactly what that means for those who are yet not familiar with the term.
Well, really, cloud computing has become kind of a shorthand, a description for what's formerly known as software as a service, sometimes known as SaaS. And really, what it is it's software that's being deployed over the internet to a company that can be run, you know, on their computers using a web browser, which allows them to do away with the need for the in-house structure of servers and buying the software and all of those things. So if you think about the internet as like this big cloud, the services can be coming from any number of locations, but they're being delivered to you at wherever you're at. That's the other benefit of it. You're not tied strictly to one physical location. Wherever you have internet access, you can access these cloud services. So that's what it is. You know, some people think that it's really, this is some new concept, and it really isn't. Back at the turn of the century, during the height of the dot-com boom, what we heard was ASPs, or application service providers, and really it was the same thing. It just hadn't matured to the point it has today.
Well, you're saying that I can now, in effect, carry around with me a lighter computer because I don't have to have so much power and this, that, and the other, because I'm not putting all these programs onto my specific unit. Is that correct, that the programs are somewhere else?
No, it's absolutely correct, because instead of carrying all the different software, like having to have Microsoft Office or, you know, a practice management program, all you need is an internet web browser on the system you're taking with you. And the services themselves are out on the web, in the cloud, being hosted by someone else. And what happens is when you log in, it comes up in your web browser. You'll see whatever product you're using will have its screen layouts and functionality. But it's all being done through the internet browser and through the internet, not directly on your system itself.
When I put it onto my system, and maybe this is simplistic, and I'm not phrasing the question right, but conceptually, if I put an application onto my system and I put a second application onto my system, there is in some instances, I'm able to integrate the two programs. Is that possible when you're dealing with cloud-based applications?
Well, yes, and certain products have varying levels of the ability to interact with traditional desktop software. Where you're seeing a lot of this right now, especially in the solo and small firm legal market, on the cloud-based products that are available, is generally some kind of integration with calendaring, such as Outlook or Gmail or Google Calendar, that ability to send information back and forth and share it from the cloud-based service to these traditional either online or desktop-based programs.
Can you have both at the same time? Can I have, for example, Microsoft Outlook on my desktop or my laptop, because that's mine, that's my calendar, that should go with me wherever I am. But can that also be synchronized or part of this cloud-based service?
Yes, the levels of synchronization vary from product or platform to platform, but absolutely you can do it. I mean, at its most simple form, let's talk about Google Calendar for a minute. Google Calendar is a cloud-based service. You're not installing anything directly on your computer. Google has a synchronization program that installs on your desktop that will provide one-way or two-way synchronization between your Outlook calendar and your Google calendar. So changes made on the Google calendar are transferred over to your desktop Outlook and vice versa. So you can have the best of both, actually. You can have your desktop program and you can be running things on the cloud.
Well, let me muck up the conversation a little bit further by saying, what if you've got an iPhone and or any other smartphone for that matter that integrates and synchronizes with your desktop? How's that reflected in the cloud?
Well, some of those products have the ability to directly integrate with many of the Google products. Others depend on their synchronization to Outlook. Many of the Microsoft smartphones and even some of the Android-based phones and like the new WebOS from Palm synchronize with Exchange Server if you have an Exchange Server and do that wirelessly or through a connected synchronization through a cable. They will sync to Outlook. Outlook syncs to the cloud-based product. So there's another step in there, but the bottom line is it's the synchronization between the diverse products that may not talk directly to each other. So there's that intermediary. In this case, it might be your Outlook desktop.
Okay.
That is the intermediary.
Now, for practice management, I mean, to help our listeners be more effective, more efficient in the business of law, my trademark, what can we do with respect to cloud-based programs when it comes to law practice management? What products are there out there that are cloud-based that help us become more efficient?
Well, that's a very good question. There are several products, and once again, I'm going to focus on the solo and small firm market segment because there are a number of cloud-based products out there. I mean, there aren't hundreds, but there are a number. But in the solo and small firm segment, I think there's really two market leaders. One is Clio from Themis Solutions out of Canada, and the other is Rocket Matter out of Miami. And those are both practice management systems targeted at the solo and small firm offices that provide a broader range of array of services and capabilities that are at a price point that solos and small firms can afford, and they're constantly changing.
Well, you know, you talk about price, and that reminds me of a saying my wife keeps harping on, and it goes something like, there ain't no free lunch. So we pay for a PC-based program. We get the software. We install it. We have a cost of a learning curve. We have a cost of the price of the software. We have a cost of the installation. But once we've got all that, we're done. How does cloud-based products and services orient themselves in terms of a pricing? Is it a one price? Is it a monthly fee? Do we ever get to the point where we stop paying?
Well, on the cloud-based services, no. You pay on a monthly basis. But what you pay is a significantly reduced cost compared to making that total upfront payment for a traditional desktop system. And where maybe 5 years ago the desktop systems definitely had the edge, the issue you're facing today is that most of the practice management systems in the solo and small firm market niche are requiring you now to maintain some kind of annual maintenance plan. So not only do you have the initial upfront cost to purchase, you have an annual payment every year that you're required to pay. Some of them are flat fee. Others are based on the number of users. So you're always going to be paying that. So now suddenly the gap between the one-time fixed cost of a desktop system that you can amortize over 3 to 5 years versus the ongoing cost of a online practice management system, that gap has been reduced. You know, for a single attorney what we like to call a bare naked solo, no support staff or anything, the web-based practice management systems are going to be somewhere around $50 a month versus installation of a traditional desktop system that also provides time billing and the practice management features, which can vary anywhere from $800 to $1,200 upfront plus annual maintenance. It's going to take a lot of months to catch up with the desktop system. The other thing is, yes, you can refuse the maintenance plan. The problem is if you go to do an upgrade then, when a new product comes out, they're going to backdate and they're going to charge you the annual maintenance plans, or some providers will, to also then add on to the cost of the update. One of the claims that the cloud-based products and platforms make is that you're paying us a set fee, we maintain it, you don't have any hardware, it includes any upgrades or updates which we send out to you much quicker because it's cloud-based, so you don't even know what's happening, but that's all included in this single payment. I think when the cloud-based systems become as full-featured as the desktop systems, and they're not there yet, not in this market niche, then it will definitely be a difference in the price gap. But that is one of the things right now is that the cloud-based practice management is most of the way there, but they're not all the way there. So while they'll do time and billing, they don't do full accounting, so you still need to have an accounting solution. While they do the basics of tracking your cases or matters and your contacts and taking notes. And one thing that they provide that desktop systems don't provide is both RocketMatter and Clio provide online document storage at no additional cost, so your documents can be on the cloud accessible from anywhere. They've got the basic features, but what they don't have is all the customizability and the flexibility of the desktop systems. But I think that's one of the reasons that there's been so much interest now in the cloud-based systems is for years, traditional desktop products, Practice Master and Time Matters and Amicus have listened to their users who want more and more features, and so they start building these products that can do literally any type of law practice you want. The issue is, though, now they become so complicated that for the average user, you have no hope to try to actually get up and running with them on your own without employing a consultant to help you get those systems configured.
Now, with respect to the cloud-based programs, you're saying that you don't need anybody. You just sign up, pay your money, and download it, and the rest is all done for you. Right?
Once you sign up, you'll get your account, you'll go to your account through your web browser, and the systems are much more basic than the current desktop programs. You can't do the customization, change all the form fields and everything. That's a downside if you want to be able to do that. But for many practitioners who are not looking for all of that ability to customize and to reuse data and outside forms and that, these products have become extremely attractive because they do harken back to the 90s when things weren't as complex. It was more upfront and easy to understand and use. And that's where I think they're really shining right now is they're kind of reversing the trend of increasing complexity and going back to a less cluttered and easier and more straightforward user interface, which many folks are finding very attractive.
Well, I think that may be the biggest selling point, because if we look at the numbers and you focus on $50 a month, which I think would probably be a low, because I have been listening to folks talking about $99 a month, but assuming the 50 is correct, and assuming then the $800 for the tangible material that you install on your personal PC, you're talking about on an annual basis $600 for the first year versus $800. But the $600 is repetitive. It just, you know, it's like the bunny that just keeps moving. The $50 a month just keeps going. And so in the long run, I'm not sure which is less expensive, but with the one that goes onto your PC, not the cloud-based one, you do have some greater flexibility despite a higher learning curve.
And that's a very legitimate points, and because over time they will do. And $99 is the right price if you've got a two user, depending on the system for the cloud-based systems. What you have to factor in is on the traditional desktop systems, there's more than the cost of the software involved if you really want it to become effective in your practice. There's the cost of the maintenance plan. There's the cost of getting it installed and configured to meet your practice. There's the training that's required if you really want to get the most out of it. Then on top of that, and if you don't take the maintenance plan, there's the upgrade costs. And as features come out for the program, if you're not subscribing to it, you're not going to get those new features. And that's what the cloud-based subscription is getting you, is they're getting you those updates,
the new
features that are coming out. They're also letting you do this without you having to worry about continually upgrading your hardware in your office and worrying about whether or not your three-year-old computer is going to continue to run this product, because as long as you can run the web and you've got sufficient memory, you're fine with the cloud-based services. But it is a trade-off, and that is something that everyone needs to look at. The bottom line is this. There is no one product that is going to be right for every practice. Every lawyer does things a little differently. So as with any practice management product or other piece of software you're going to bring into your office, you need to be looking at the various options that you have closely and saying which one will work the way that I work and which one is the best fit for my needs. Not which is cheapest, not which is most expensive, but which one is going to work the way that I work and help me become a more effective and efficient lawyer.
Let me ask you another question, because you've mentioned a couple of times now the idea of continually updating the program more easily in the cloud. A, you don't have to do it yourself. B, it's just taken care of by somebody. And C, they're always updating. My question is, because I've used QuickBooks, for example, for many years, and QuickBooks keeps wanting me to update and update and update, but I don't, because if it ain't broke, why fix it? If it ain't broke, if I understand how to use the system and it's producing the end result that I need, i.e. an accounting program, a check register, so forth and so on, why do I need to go to an update, which I then will have to learn more about and have another learning curve involved? So what's the advantage to continually update these programs, assuming that it works the first time with the first version?
Well, and it's not so much necessarily even the updating for new features. It's updates and patches that resolve issues that may exist in the software. The other issue, though, when it comes to updating, depending on the product that you're using, is whether or not that product that you're using, you are also interacting with other programs. Let's say, you know, with practice management, are you interacting with your word processor? Are you interacting with Outlook? At some point in time, the major software companies say, we can only support our products for so long because you keep asking for new features, we're adding new things, technology is changing. So now we're only going to support our products. For example, LexisNexis with Time Matter supports the current version and two prior versions. So if current version is 10, they support version 9 and 8. If you're still running Time Matter 6, there's no updates, there's no bug fixes, nothing. You don't always have to upgrade to the latest and greatest. I definitely don't say go out and do that. But at some point in time, you do have to upgrade, because otherwise you fall so far behind the technology curve that when you do go to upgrade, suddenly it's not an incremental change. It is a major we've got to throw everything out and start from scratch kind of change in many instances. And that's pretty traumatic for a lot of people.
Norino, let me ask you this question. We've talked a bit about the difference between the cloud and the traditional programs that are available. What about the two programs you mentioned, Clio and Rocket Matter? How would you compare those two? What are the differences in their features, if anything?
You know, I think they're both very similar. I think perhaps that Rocket Matter's trust accounting module, and they do offer trust accounting when it comes to the accounting side of things. They don't offer your general ledger for your business accounting and check writing, but they both have trust accounting. I think that the Rocket Matter trust accounting is a little more robust of a feature. On the other hand, Clio has the Outlook synchronization, which is a major plus if you're using Outlook and you're looking to be able to synchronize your Outlook calendar with your online practice management system. It is also in the approach. I think Clio looks more like a traditional practice management system from the 90s. Rocket Matter has a little different interface. It's just a little different. I guess the difference is, if you think of Clio as a PC and Rocket Matter as a Mac, okay, that's how it goes. Now, I'm not saying that to say Clio is not as effective. I use PCs, and I've got a Mac, but I still prefer PCs. It's what you're comfortable with. But it's like anything. It's like with the major desktop practice management systems, Amicus Attorney, Time Matters, Practice Master. You know, they all do things a little differently, but they've all pretty much got the same capabilities. It's just how they do them and how they may look.
So one last question on this. What new changes do you anticipate each of these programs coming out with? Or better said, I think, is how frequently are there updates and changes?
Well, I will say this. I think both of them have been rolling out new features pretty much at least every 90 days. They're adding to their existing feature set because, quite honestly, they have to. They've got a long way to go to the point where they start to rival desktop systems for functionality. So they're on a continuous upgrade and improvement curve. But I'd say at a minimum, you know, every 6 months, but a lot of their new improvements have been coming out 90 days to 6 months.
Okay, one last question.
And they're continuing to add features.
One last question, unrelated to the cloud. Name for us the three most important /maybe frustrating challenges that are facing solo and small firm practitioners today. What are the three problems they think about at night that have them worried?
Well, I think what we're seeing up here, first of all, is where is my next client going to come from? And for many lawyers, they have not adapted to the realities of the new world and the advertising opportunities and client location opportunities of things like the web and that. They're still mired in the old days that I've got a reputation, I don't need to do anything more, and the work will come in the door. Well, that's not necessarily true, and you have to do something to differentiate yourself from all the other attorneys that are in your same market niche. So I think, you know, how to find clients and getting them in the door is one of the big things. I think item number two is the continued growth of legal services being provided by non-legal service providers, okay, where we have in most states the realtors have completely pushed attorneys out of the process of purchasing or selling a home. You have LegalZoom, who is out there pushing, you know, we're a document preparation service and we'll do your wills and everything else. Attorneys are facing more and more competition from non-legal providers, and I think that's the second major challenge. And if they don't adopt, if they don't learn to deal and face these challenges with a new business model, we're going to go the way of the horse and buggy. Number three, You know, number three, I believe, is the continued focus by many of the Supreme Courts on the idea that making a profit or making, you know, earning a living as an attorney is a bad thing, that pro bono services should have the most important, and that, you know, when it comes to an issue of charging clients for money, the attorneys should be willing to just forgive and forget and not push for the dues, the fees that they've earned. And I think that's probably the third greatest challenge, is that too many of the courts and the disciplinary agencies look at attorneys trying to actually make a living as something that's wrong with the system, and that's something that I totally disagree with.
And said a different way, from my perspective, the third item, and you know, if we assume that the third item in your list is courts, then it would be the fourth item, and that is collections. Attorneys are finding it harder and harder to collect money from their clients.
And I absolutely agree with you, and that could be one of the three. That's the collections one is right up there, and it can be interchangeable with any of the first three, because if you can't collect what you are billing, you can't survive.
That's right, and that is why they need to buy my book from the ABA, Collecting Your Fee, Getting Paid from Intake to Invoice. A short plug there. Marino, thank you very much for joining us. As always, it's been not only a pleasure, but it's been an education.
Ed, thank you very much.
You have been listening to a Law Biz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. You can read more about this and other topics from the business of law at www.lawbizblog.com, or start your own discussion about this topic at www.lawbizforum.com. Join today. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about Law Biz podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.